the love that the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. It is well. I want to appreciate everybody for being here this morning. I have 40 minutes. I cherish every second, you know, of those 40 minutes. I have a lot to talk about. So I want to trust God to make use of that 40 minutes very, very well. This morning, I'm just going to talk about something that God has been teaching me lately, and you know, this morning, he took it a step further. And I'm going to talk in the lines of expanding your capacity in prophetic transactions. Expanding your capacity, you know, either for prophetic transactions or in prophetic transactions. Hallelujah. One very, very important thing in journey as children of God is that we are prophetic people. We are people transacting with the world of God, the realm of God. God brings things to us. We take things to him. You know, like that ladder where Jacob slept, and he saw angels, you know, ascending and what? And descending. That is a type of the life that we should live. Every day of our lives, we know that we are spirit beings, we are children of God, and therefore if we are children of God, then it means that we must be transacting with him. We don't serve a dead God. That separates our God from every other God. Our God is a living God, and therefore our abilities to thrive in this transaction depends so much on how much we can relate to, you know, the prophetic. When we say the prophetic, I'm not talking about the office of a prophet right now. I'm talking about, you know, how much your spirit can yield to God. Alright? Everything is a prophetic package. It's a prophetic package. And this morning, God is laying something on my heart that I really want us to look at. I am going to take my springboard from that young man we call Joseph. And I am going to talk from his dreams. Praise the Lord. Prophetic transactions and instructions and messages come via different ways. One of those very important ways is that we don't pay attention to is our thoughts. Praise God. Thoughts, a very important vehicle for God to reach to us, but we don't pay attention. Though that is not what I'm here to talk about this morning. Okay? One of such ways also is transactions as per dreams, that like we saw in the life of Joseph. But whatever way, there are many others, I'm not talking about that, but whatever way God chooses to transact with you at any time, what is important is that God is communicating with you, okay? Some people have said that dreams are the most something way that God can speak to a man. As long as by common dream God can save your life, I think you should cherish it. Okay? Some people have died because there was a dream. They did not pay. So if you like, say it is the lowest form of communication. That's your problem. Some people died because they did not pay attention to that thing you call the smallest form of communication. Are we together? So, I know that there are higher methods or ways by which God can reach you. I'm not trying to categorize, but I'm saying that what is important is that God is transacting with you. Okay? So let's go to Genesis chapter 37. While we open, you know, we as human beings think in naira and kobo, we think in dollars and pounds. Okay? But God does not think in naira. Do you understand? Let me lay that foundation. It does not think in kobo. It does not think in dollars or pounds. It does not think in all that. It thinks in his will. It thinks in his purpose. Okay? So when God is doing something, he's doing something according to his what? His own will. Not according to what you think. So when God says that I will bless you, You are thinking naira and kobo, but as far as God is concerned, God is talking about, God may not be talking about naira and kobo. He's talking about something that transcends what you can think. Okay? That thing cannot, you know, he said, I will pour you out a what? A blessing. That is what Malachi 3 told us. Okay? So, it is that blessing that now translates into anything, you know, you want to talk about. Money, whatever, good health, or anything. But that blessing is not something that you can quantify. That blessing can just be God himself. Okay? When God enters into your house, what do you think has entered into your house? Every good thing has what? Has entered into your house. So, it's been a problem before. It's still a problem right now. That when God speaks to you directly, or God uses somebody to speak to you, you know, you already, the first thing you are thinking about is you, alright? Me. You're thinking about your bank account, alright? Which is not bad. Okay? Are we together? It's not bad. But my purpose, you know, as a teacher, we used to have objectives. My objective this morning is to let you see that what God wants to do with you is not about you. And it is bigger than you. Okay? That's my objective. So we'll get there. Genesis 37. Let's take it from verse 1. There's no time. Let's go to that place where Joseph began to have his funny dreams. Bible told us that Jacob loved Joseph because Joseph was a son of his old age. Okay? I don't know why he didn't like Benjamin, because even Benjamin was a son of an older age. But somehow Joseph found favor with his father, and his father loved him much more than his brothers because he was the son of his old age. And if you even see when he was going to meet Esau, when he arranged all the families, he put the servants and all that in front, put the children of Leah in front, put the, you know, he arranged it so much that the closest to him were the children of Rachel. Maybe because he loved that woman so much. She was his first love. Praise God. First love. You know now? First love. So he arranged it so much that the children of that woman were the safest. So if anything was happening in front, I don't think that can happen today. If I were his son of Leah, I would fight that man. I would not be friends again. So you can sacrifice me to die and keep Joseph and Benjamin with you. Abi? Alright? But I'm not going to dwell on that. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. But there was one he had first. This is my reference. He had two dreams. The first one is they were in the field. He saw his brother's sheep, 11 of them, and they were bowing to him. What are sheaves? A sheaf is simply a gathering of harvest. It could be rice, it could be anything they go to harvest on the field. When they gather it together and they bind it, then you have what you call a what? A sheaf. Okay? And then 11 of them were bowing to him. And then he had another one like it. He saw the sun, he saw the moon, and he saw what? 11 stars. And they were doing what? They were bowing to him. And then his father had, and traditionally, a Jew is, while we were reading that story about Nebuchadnezzar, I was like, was it the Holy Ghost that told Daniel the meaning of that dream, the interpretation of that dream? You know, he was astounded for 1 hour. Not because he was confused, but he didn't know how to tell the king, the king, and in number will. You know, when he wanted to start, he said, let the interpretation of this dream be to your enemies. Before they cut off his head. So for 1 hour, he was thinking, Babu Imaso, how will I do it? So as the king was giving him the dream, the interpretation was already what? It was ready. So I don't understand. Alright. Maybe some of us can come into such things. When somebody is telling you his dream, you are telling him that this is not Brother Joshua, it's Brother Jesus. Praise God. If you are initiated, you understand. Hallelujah. And so his father traditionally said, are you trying to say that your mother and myself and your 11 brothers will bow to you? But the Bible says, while his brothers were hating him the more, his father kept it in his heart. We are going somewhere. His mother was dead at this time. So I don't know how his mother was going to bow to him. Let's establish that. I don't know. His father traditionally was correct by interpretation. But I think by that dream, I don't think Jacob was sorry. Petrarch was not accurate. But which mother was going to bow to him? Okay? Let's put that one side because his mother was already dead. Now, these two dreams, when you look at it, one seemed to be on the terrestrial plane, the other was on the celestial plane. If you look at the second dream, it was a combination of moon, of the sun, the moon, and stars. If you look at the first one, it was sheaves. We find sheaves around us, but you don't find the moon, the star, and the sun around us. Now, this is painting something to me, that when God gives us prophetic messages, you know, Pastor has said something before, that prophetic messages can have this very, very interesting effect. They can repeat themselves for generations. That thing will come to pass now. After another 300 years, you find the same thing they said coming to pass. Eventually, you will know that all those coming to passes are not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing was still going to come. Men like Hitler have come, but we know that those men came in the likeness of the Antichrist. Okay? Men like Hitler and all that, they've come. In fact, John said that there are many Antichrists in the world, but we know that there is still one to come. So when God said that I'm going to fight Amalek from generation to generation, so you find that such words will continue to return, like every once saved forever saved has gone down now. And Pastor Richard said that thing comes every 10 years. Before he left, he said it, told us in pastors, I said, Kini, every 10 years, Lumanwa. You know, it's just that we don't pay attention. Maybe because we are not Jews. But you know, we know that the Holy Ghost will begin to cultivate that thing inside of us. So that we know. It has gone down now. So I'm expecting that by 27 or 28, the thing will come up. It's like the thing has simmered down. And you know, it's just like they did meeting. Everybody campaigning for that thing, they all kept quiet on the internet. They are not saying anything again. Praise God. The first thing came to pass in his lifetime. The second dream did not come to pass in his lifetime. And how do I know? The first one, let me drop this before we go. Not all prophetic messages have been stamped that they will surely come to pass. Okay? Like God was trying to... Hope I'm not blaspheming. Like God was trying to show to those men. Tell me, what need was there for Jacob's brothers to bow to him physically? Was there any need? Are you saying if my younger sister prospers more than me and she becomes the first lady of this country, do you think I'll go and physically go and bow down to her? Why will I need to bow down to her? I wouldn't need that. Okay? I guess God was trying to paint that this guy is going to be of more prominence than all of you. Are we together? When they had it, they, like I said, when we hear things, you quickly shrink. We are, see, we're not my prosper, Jumilo. And God was trying to tell them, this young man is going to be more prominent. Okay? God has said that. But how we even get there, God didn't say. But their hatred brought him there. Because eventually they physically what? Bowed down to him. Nebuchadnezzar's story that we just read. Bible says Daniel gave him that message. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of his palace, and then that prophecy was hanging and waiting for one day the guy was going to lift up his heart. That means certain prophecies can linger for 200 years until somebody is going to what? Trigger it. I guess the guy had expected that the second day he would turn to a beast. He didn't turn. Third day, he didn't turn. 1 month went, he didn't turn. If I was Daniel self, I would have been saying, God, it's like I have given a false prophecy. For 12 months, nothing happened. And one day, after 12 months, he stood on the roof of his house, and immediately he thought that thing. God said, now, this is the right time to what? I am telling you, you know, Daniel warned him to repent and change his ways. If Nebuchadnezzar had maintained sanity, and had not lifted up his voice, it's possible that all through his lifetime he would not have gone into that bush. There's a possibility. But the day he lifted up his voice, I think he had forgotten Daniel's words, and that day he lost God, and he thought it, he activated that thing. So sometimes you can activate it. So those guys, by selling their brother and hating him and doing all that, you know what they did? They activated that word, and actually they did what? They bowed to their brother. But of course his father did not bow. I did not read all through till Jacob died that Jacob bowed to his son. Now, when God says things, when God says, I'm going to give you a house or give you a car and all that, you are seeing it in the light of where God wants to keep me away from the heat of the sun and save me from the elements and give me a car so I don't trek up and down, my shoes don't get dusty, you know, I can people can see me and say God has blessed me and all that. That is what you think. But God does not think that way. When God does things, he doesn't do things to just take care of you alone. Bible says the things, anything that God does abides forever. So anything that God does for you that stops now, God didn't do it. Hallelujah. If God gives you a child and does not have eternal relevance, then you didn't get that thing from God. If God gives me a scholarship to travel abroad, I know that it's not about that 3-4 years. Are you getting me? God has plans ahead, and we are going to prove it. So like I said, when God's messages come to you and you receive God and you receive prophetic transactions, there are certain things. Yeah, it can meet your immediate needs. Like there was an immediate, it took how many years for that thing to come to pass? He left his father's house at 17, became prime minister at what? At 30, and I think his brother must have come into Egypt. You know, there were 7 years of plenty. And then there were 7 years of famine. So let's say between 37 and 17 plus another 7, that's 24. Let's just say within 24, 25 years, that word came to pass. The first dream. But the second dream did not come to pass at that time. But let us go on. Praise God. There was only one person that the Bible records that the sun and moon listened to. Who was that person? Joshua. If you trace Joshua, Joshua was an Ephraimite. An Ephraimite is the son of Joseph. So it didn't come to pass in his lifetime. So let us move on. Let's continue. He was only that person. So if you look at him, he led Israel. The tribes listened to him. The 11 tribes. They paid obeisance to Joseph. And Joseph was able to stop the sun at Gibeon and stop the moon at Ajalon. And how do I know? Again, if you read the story of, do you know that Joshua was not from Judah, but he came to typify the Messiah. You didn't get that. Hebrews 4 says, if Joshua had given them rest, then we would still be saying that there is still another rest. So if you look at him, in fact, in scripture, if anybody typified the Messiah the most, it was Joshua. He was the only one they described in the light of the Sabbath. If you look at him, he was the one that came into Canaan and allotted the land to them. He was the one who brought them in. He was the one who fought their battles. He was the one who dealt with the 5 Amorite kings. Go to Genesis chapter 48 and look at the very last verse in chapter 48 of Genesis. Sorry if my thoughts are half as that. Please, the Holy Spirit will gather it in your mind. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers. There is no reference to this. Okay? I tried to look for, there was no record that Jacob fought any battles. The closest to it was this that I found. Said, moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite, with my what? With my sword and with my what? With my bow. There was no previous records of Jacob fighting a war, but we found a man who fought the Amorites. Whether they existed, okay, some of them, Bible says some of them escaped to their fortified cities, a few of them. But it was the one that took the five Amorite kings, killed them, and shot them in that cave. And killed them there. You think it is a mistake that in chapter 38 of Genesis, after, I thought the Joseph story was supposed to just continue, suddenly he jumped to Judah and Tamar. Did you notice? Oh yeah, open your Bible, chapter 38. There was a break in the story of Joseph. There was a break. Chapter 38, what is there? I'm trying to say that promise came to pass upon Joshua. Chapter 38 of Genesis. And it came to pass at that time that Judah departed. This was a story. I don't know why they introduced this story. I really can't tell whether it was because of Judah or Tamar or anything, but this story looks awkward because you are talking about the life of a young boy who was sold to slavery and suddenly we jumped. And when I looked, Caleb, who he and Joshua went to spy, Caleb was from Judah. So you now see that. So when you now go back to the blessing of Jacob in chapter 49 for Joseph and for Ephraim and Manasseh. Let's go back. Genesis 49, where did he bless Joseph? What I'm trying to tell you now is that what God wants to do in your life is beyond you. It's bigger than you. And this prayer has been on my mouth for a while now, that God, give me something that transcends me. Those are the real blessings. Any blessing that does not transcend you will finish, will die in this place. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the world. 23. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty. This was where Bob Marley picked that song. I was made strong by the hands of the Almighty. If you don't know, leave it. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from thence the shepherd and the son of Israel. 25. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, both of the deep that lies under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. 26. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my poor progenitors. Abraham and who? Say the blessings of thy father has prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of where? The everlasting hills. They shall be what? On the head of Joseph. And what? On the crown of the head of him that was what? That was separate from his brethren. There was a special blessing he was. He got. And in that place that we read in the last verse of 48, he said there was a blessing he got from the king of the Amorite by his sword and his bow. Joseph was blessed above what? Above his brothers. Everything kept pointing to the fact, he's working. Everything kept pointing to the fact that Joseph was going to be what? More prominent. He was going to be more prominent. And when I looked at it and saw that Joshua was actually from that line. And you know, when the father was even going to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, he didn't make a mistake. He did what? He swapped his hand. There was something deliberate going on. That man was blind at that time. He couldn't see. His eyes had gone. I don't know how he managed to know that. Maybe they were taller than each other. I don't know. But he just knew that this one, the blessing is not for Manasseh. And the father was trying to swap the hand. He said, leave it. He said, I know. Alright? See, what God wants to do with you transcends you. It is bigger than you. You may think it will come to pass in your days. It may not even come to pass. So prepare your heart. Tell somebody, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. If you look at him, it was Joshua that stood in that place where the sun and the moon. And the Bible says that God did not honor any man again. He said before that day to that time. And even after that time, he said God did not honor any man without authority to what? To stop the sun and to what? To stop the moon. He was that person and he was from that line. And if you look at him, Joshua and Caleb, Ephraim and what? And Judah. And even look at the prophecy. Look at the prophecy. What they told Judah was that till Shiloh comes, the scepter shall not depart, nor a lawgiver from where? Beneath his feet. The thing was not even, if you look at it very, very well, the thing was not even told us Shiloh will come. Okay? Look at that lineage. He did not really, I looked at the prophecy, I said, what is really, really special about, it's special. If they give me that one, I'll go and sleep. It's very special. But looking at what they even gave Joseph, it was looking more like it. I said, no wonder Joshua came and stood in that capacity to be able to bring Israel into rest. Saying that Joshua is going to come later and he was also going to what? Bring us into rest. So for every word of God that comes to you, it may meet your immediate need, but please think beyond that. Expand your capacity and think. Let's deal with carnality. Praise God. Let's deal with it. It's the first step. Let's deal with it. Don't be too selfish. You know, when words come, you think only about yourself. You think only about, and that's why some of us go around, you want people to prophesy for you. And some people just enjoy it. This prophet comes, tells you, you know, even when you have not seen it come to pass, when another one comes, you enjoy hearing. As if hearing is as good as fulfillment. Tell you, if you don't enjoy it, raise your hands. All of us like it. All of us like it. You know, when they are giving people word, you'll be thinking, shit, they will not give me my own. Shit, they will not give me my own. Because when they do it, you are already thinking about how your life on earth is going to be better. But you know what? God thinks in His will. He thinks in His purposes. And that's why there are certain things He will not give us. And really, sometimes when we don't even live up to expectations, certain things may not come to pass in our lifetime. If He tell you, you will travel abroad, see, if you don't stay in the will of God, it may happen on your third generation. It doesn't cost God anything. You are the one thinking, my time is good. God does not grow old. He doesn't. He can wait for another 2 generations until he finds one person that is willing to pay the price and stay there. So also, when they say something bad or evil is going to happen, another, if you walk in that path, you will trigger it. Like Joseph's brothers, they triggered it without them knowing. They didn't need to have gone to bow down physically. They didn't need it, but they triggered it. They triggered it. Joseph would have been as prominent as that, and they would have said, bro one here. You know that kind of a bro one thing. Be that boy, that, I don't know if he would have been prime minister of Egypt. Maybe he would have been prime minister of somewhere or of his father's house. And they would have been able to say, you know, that's my bro, that's my younger brother. And they'd be proud about it. But you know what? They were bowing to him and they never even knew it was their brother. They were what? They were bowing down to. My brother begin to think far beyond. Let's deal with that thing that makes us always want to think about the present. Things that always make us want to think about now. Let's expand our capacity. I know God is committed to you. God wants to make your life easy. He doesn't want you to live under stress. Do you get me? So somebody would not say that I said God does not want you to live under stress and poverty and penury and all that. I understand. But you know that when God does things, he's not an idle God who doesn't have things to do. So you just look at and say, well, boy, you know, and they just heal you. When God heals you, Jesus healed certain people in the scriptures, and you know what? They said they will follow you, I will follow you. He said, don't follow me. He said, go to your area and go and tell them the things that God has done for you. Even miracles, even healings, even deliverances, they have their purposes. That is why you are different from somebody who just goes to a crusade ground and gets healed and then walks away. No. When certain supernatural things happen in your life, you should sit down and think. It's an invitation. Praise God. When a miracle happens in your life, a healing happens in your life, you know what? It is an what? It is an invitation. And as a matter of fact, sometimes, Steph, if we do not know the purpose of what we are asking for, God may not release it. Hannah came to a point one day and said, God, if you give me this son, I will give him back to you. God said, this one understands purpose. And they what? they released it. There are many women, many people looking for things, and you know why they are not getting it? The purpose is not yet clear to them, because God does not give children so that they can say, no, yeah, Deborah and me. It transcends that. It's more than that. You won't get a job just so that you can feel good. Like it is more than that. What do you see when God intervenes in your matter and in your word and in your case? When we even approach God asking Him for things, what do we see? What do you see? You know, God is a God that knows our hearts. He told Israel, He said, when you come and you make an altar to me of stone, He said, don't cut it. Alright? He said, don't cut it, an altar of stone. Leave it the way it is. Altars are hearts. So He's saying, when you come to the place of prayer, I want to see your heart the way it was, the way it is. Don't garnish it. Praise God. Don't package it. No packaging. Bring a stone. The way you bring stones from the field. I don't know. Maybe when it comes to my turn to talk about the autopsies, I have plans to talk about stones and take it from where Father Ogi stood, because the stone is very, very important. Stones are alive. I don't know. Actually, I know that stones are alive, because a rock can be in one place for hundreds of years and they are there. Well, we call them non-living things. Scientifically, I've not been able to prove it, but I know that stones can work. If stones can carry, if Jacob used a stone for pillow, and then that place, something what? It's not the stone. He says you'll be at peace with the stones of the field. Maybe not the physical stones. Okay? Not the physical stones. So when you look into scripture, even this earth we are standing on, is a system. Is a system. This earth can take care of itself. If you go into geophysics, this earth can take care of itself. Teba bunibi. If you take it here, the guy will be balancing itself in another place. You don't know what God created. You don't know. So don't just think this thing we are looking at. Well, Bible says Abel died, his blood went into the ground, and the ground began to what? To cry. Don't let me go into the autopsies. Alright? What do you think when God speaks? Expand your capacity. What will keep you down there is that carnality of me, my things, and all that. I want you to trust the Lord to give you sight so that you will see far beyond today. You will see far beyond God meeting your immediate need. When the word of God comes to you, you can look through and see and say, God, I want this thing to be on my children and on what? And on my children's children. When God gives you a calling and anointing, can you trust the Lord that God can replicate that thing? Can you, Pastor told me that it is Jews that keep family business inside family. Can you trust God and say, God, this thing you are giving me, don't let it leave my home. You can make a request. You can make a request and say, God, this thing, I want it to transcend. It is selfish people that we eat, me alone. Eat. You know, you don't care. How many of us pray for our children? How many of us pray for our unborn children? How many of us pray for our generations to come? How many of us are saying that this child that we are even not yet giving birth to, this one, I am, but the world is even a very bad place. So me, I've made up my mind that even if I'm going to have five of them, while they are still pregnant, I'll be telling God, Elei, emu. Because about David, this world is a very, very bad place. You can see a good person today. In the next 5 years, you will just see a totally derailed human being. Just by association. The world is terrible now. So the safest thing is that before these children even come out, let's be telling God, praise God, Elei, Oma Savi. But he's beyond him. He has no choice. He will live under that thing. Because we have settled it before you came. So you don't have any... You don't have any case in this one. You don't have it's beyond you. When God told Jeremiah, before your mother had you in the belly, Nikes, shall keep quiet and what? And do the will of God. Because before you came into the scene at all, they had given you to me. So you all keep quiet. You are born again. Your name has been penciled down as one of those that were what? That were born again. Honestly, we need to begin to do it. This world is going to get worse and worse and worse. With television, with social media, it's going to get very, very terrible, very messy. I have students in my school, the rate at which boys, young boys are smoking. One came to the exam hall some days ago and went, "Hey, right," and the guy said, "Ah, hello, sir." I said, "Otimugbo." Go to one new exam hall. Young boys, 100 level, 200 level. Eh? Preliminary children, they're already entering booths, smoking. The guy was sweating. His face was, he was in my department. By the time we looked at him, the guy, we knew that OT, he did one paper in the morning. Before afternoon paper, he had gone to higher. So the guy was just active. "Ah, Stan Bruce, come and see my script. Come and see my script." So that is what is happening around. Listen to me. If God gives us children, those children are going to take the plans and purposes of God farther than where we can carry it. That's what I am saying this morning. That's what I'm saying. If God gives you a job, if God gives you a house, people should come to that house and say, "Glory be to God. Let our houses make people to get born again." It's not just for our aggrandizement. It's not to consume it on our loss. He says you even ask, you don't receive because you ask and miss. You ask so that you can consume it on your what? What should we consume house on and car on? You think God is not brilliant? When God said that you are asking for a house so that you can consume it on your loss, it means that there are things that you can ask for a house and a car and you are not asking to consume it on your loss. Go and discover what then you are trusting God that need can be consumed on. Because if God says that you are asking for a need so you can consume it on your loss, then it means that you can ask for your need and it is not for consumption on your what? On your loss. Can we rise this morning? I want us to pray that God will give us eyes.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.